All right, welcome everyone. Good to see you all here and just continue to eat. This will be a very informal time once again. Got several more that were traveling or whatever last time, so welcome to you. And let me pray and we'll get into it. God, thanks for our time together. Thank you for the meals we're enjoying or will enjoy for lunch and for providing for us. But God, thank you for all these couples here, these folks who want to serve you in this way. By opening their homes and their lives to care for your people. And we just pray that you would fill our hearts with love for one another and that you would bless our home group ministry this coming year. Lord, that you would do things that we can't even ask or imagine. That you would grow our church, grow our people, help us to grow as disciples of Christ as a result of these meetings. And I just pray that your blessing, your protection, and your guidance will be upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so there are handouts. Everybody should have a handout. And there's a sign-up sheet. So there's already been a question already from a school teacher, of course. So is it a sign-in sheet or a sign-up sheet? So, so I said both. Yeah, you're signing up to lead and you're signing in that you're here. So. All right, I want to do a little quick review from, 3 weeks ago? Seems like forever, since we were here last on July 7th. And I know some of you weren't here. If you haven't had a chance, you can find that on our website. And we also sent out an email with the links and everything. So I really would encourage you to go listen to that and fill out the fill in the blanks on it if you haven't already. A little quick review, 5 minutes at the most, of what we talked about on July 7th. Some of the highlights. So one of the highlights is you're going to be getting sermon discussion questions as a leader this year, and they will go out at the latest at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon to your email. They could come on Saturday, they could come on Friday, but my deadline will be 2 o'clock Sunday. And you will be able to use those during your group time. You're not required to use them, but you are strongly encouraged to use them. And in that way, we can try to maximize the impact of the sermons and in all of our lives. And if you're, so whatever day it is, you're going to have questions from that day's sermon. So you are welcome to give us feedback on the questions. You're welcome to add your own questions, of course, to tweak them as you see fit. It's just going to be kind of an aid and a starter for you going forward. As I mentioned last time, Kim and I are going to be floaters this year as your elder over home groups. We're going to float, and our goal is to attend each group at least once. Hopefully, we might make it more than once, but that's our goal. And what else from last time? We talked about that our home groups are going to support our purpose as a church, and that is to make what? What are we here to make? Disciples. And so home groups feed into that purpose and that goal as a church. Try to keep that in mind, big picture, each time you meet. Why are we doing this? What are we here for? We're here to ultimately make disciples. And that doesn't mean make conversions, because the rest of the verse says baptizing them, and then it says teaching them to observe all that I commanded. And so a disciple is a publicly initiated, just like our text this morning, a public testimony that I'm a follower of Christ. And as a follower of Christ, I want to be obedient to the word of Christ. And so, big picture, the point of home groups is so that all of us, the leaders included, grow in obedience to Christ. That by the end of the year, we're more obedient than when we started. And your sermon hit on all of that. That was great. So, keep that in mind as you meet week to week. We talked about three roles of a home group host and leader. And your roles are to be a hospitable host, a gentle leader, not a teacher and not a preacher, to be a listening friend, and to be an encourager and an equipper of the saints. And then we spent some time talking about really just our personal lives and what makes for an effective home group leader. And it's mostly spiritual things. You know, it's mostly your walk, your character, your preparation, and those kind of things. So that's enough of that, and we'll get into our new handout this morning. So last time our focus was really on our purpose and on ourselves. Why are we meeting, and what kind of hosts and leaders ought we to be effective? And I know just personally, those Sunday afternoons where I needed to have been spiritually, where I have been prayed up and my heart is right, it's amazing how much better the group goes than those Sunday nights when that wasn't the case. When I felt frazzled or distracted or exhausted in my own strength. Whatever the case may be, and then not call out to the Lord and ask for His help, and then the group tends to go another direction. So remember that the life of your group will be a real reflection of the spirit of your leadership. Is that fair to say? And that the people in your group, though you're not going to be heavy-handed and it's not a real, you know, I'm in control, this is what we're going to do sort of thing. But the people in your group are going to look to you as a couple to lead them when they show up at your location. And we talked about this some after last time with Laura. Ladies, they're going to look to you when you, maybe if you separate men from women for your prayer time. And maybe there's some discussion time where you're separated. Well, those ladies in your group are going to look to you to lead them. And there may be things where you have to step in and step up. And I know that some of that might be uncomfortable for you at times. But there will probably be some opportunities along the way where you'll have to address certain things or respond to certain things. And your husband won't be right there beside you because he's in another room or outside or he's somewhere else with the men. And it's kind of one of those things like when you're raising kids, you know, there's some things you wait till dad gets home, but there's some things you got to address right now. You can't wait till dad gets home. You're the mom, you know, address it. And so I just want to just enable and empower you ladies that when you're in that sort of situation in your group to understand that as a leader, you are to lead and to be their shepherd in those occasions. And I don't think there'll be a lot of those necessarily, but just to be prepared for those moments. So anyway, last time we talked about purpose and we talked about ourselves. This time our focus is on the group now. The group and the meeting. All right? The focus is on the group and the meeting. All right, let's jump in with five ways to build commitment and regular attendance. And I'll challenge you guys to give me number six when we're done with these five. All right. First of all, number one is church staff. There's going to be an onus on us to say during the sign-up period, which will start next Sunday, this is a commitment. For us to say to the church, don't just do this because you're just on a whim or you're just thinking about doing a home group or you might be mildly interested. When you put your name on that sheet of paper, you are taking a spot. And that's the kind of message we want to give to the church throughout the month of August. You're signing up to a serious commitment that you will be there every time unless you are sick or you are out of town. I mean, you will be there unless you can't be there. You know? And so We would hate, and this has happened, we hate for people to sign up, they come to a couple of sessions, and that group is full because they signed up on it, and they come to a couple, and then they stop coming, and then there are other people out there that want to be in, and then we're not sure, are they in, are they out, that sort of thing. So that'll be on us to try to stress that during sign-ups. In fact, I would say home groups... rise to a level. How to say this? It's going to really go to a level above Sunday school, probably. We do sign-ups for Sunday school, but that's really for room assignments, right? And sometimes there's books that, well, people are on their own with the books. So really, the Sunday school sign-up sole purpose is room assignments. Church, you don't sign up church, you know. You should be committed to be a church, but this is something that really is above the level of Sunday school when we ask people to commit to it. So I want you to know that as leaders, because you will be able to kind of use that as a little bit of leverage if people aren't coming. Because this is not just a social gathering that we can hit or miss on. This is a meaningful relationship-building group, and we need to be there. All right. Now, the rest of these really turn to you, the leaders. Number two, leaders, strive for quality, regular meetings on a consistent schedule. Strive for quality, regular meetings on a consistent schedule. People need to know the schedule. They need to know the routine. Of course, nothing is set in stone. Things happen. Things change. But we can't just be constantly jumping all over the place and just kind of winging it. Winging it does not work. People's lives are very busy. It's disrespectful to constantly be changing things on people. And so we need to honor people's schedules, honor their lives, honor their busyness, honor the demands that we have all have on us, and say, here's our schedule. And then strive to have regular meetings at those times. Number three. So we're still talking about how do we get our groups to commit and regularly come. Number three, make relational connections. Make relational connections. That's you with your group. That's your group with each other. Where people will know that they are valued, that they are missed when they're not there. It's noticed that they're missed. We're going to contact them if they've missed and if they haven't contacted us. I mean, a good, healthy group is that everybody in your group understands the expectation that they're going to be there. And then even if they're not coming, they let you know in advance. I love that about my group. Our group is very good at this. People would call, would email, would text and say, I'm out of town, I've got this, I can't be there. And so we basically knew every time we met, I can look around the room real quick and go, are we waiting on anyone? Okay, is it, well, we'll wait a few more minutes, but, or do we need to check on someone? So all of that is part of this relational connection. Again, see where I'm going with this? This is so far beyond a Sunday school class, and it's beyond a church service, isn't it? This is unique in the life of our church, where we want one kind of ministry where if someone is not there, they are instantly noticed and they are contacted every time. Okay? That's what we're after. All right. Number four, reach out to missing members. If you haven't heard from them, I mean, don't let the sun go down. I mean, don't let that day end. Home group's over. Text them. Call them. Missed you. You okay? Everything all right? We want to reach out to those who are missing. And then number five, because what we're really talking about here is building ownership. Number five is share responsibilities. Share responsibilities. Delegate. Involve. Right? I know you've done this, Billie Jean, a lot with your groups. You've had different people share testimonies, share devotionals, right? Men and women come and share a 5 or 10 minute devotional. And so that's great. I mean, that's you know, how long has that person, when they get that assignment or they get that offer and they know they're on the schedule, how long did they think about it? Well, 2 weeks probably, right? Prayed about it, thought about it, and now they know, hey, I've got to be there because I've got ownership in what happens tonight. Share responsibilities. It can involve food. It can involve even hosting in time. It can involve some aspect of the meeting. Just try to find ways to give away ownership of the group. I'll give you an example of this that Heath is using with the high school Sunday school. I just thought was just excellent. what's the hardest thing to get people to come to? High school, Sunday school. Mm-hmm. There's hardly anything harder than that. And so he went to his group. He and Lori are going to do high school Sunday school this year. He went to the kids in that group who are regulars. And he says, I want you guys to come up with our curriculum. You guys come tell us what you want this to be. And so they found a book, and they brought it to him and said, that's giving away ownership. And now they have an investment. And if you don't like it, you picked it. This is, that kind of thing. So there's lots of ways to do this. Just be creative. Trying to build a commitment to your group and regular attendance. It's very discouraging when we have a group and then it starts to fizzle, right? And starts to fade, and we start to lose this idea. Okay, who's got number six that we didn't say? What's one more that we should have on this list?
Transparency.
Okay. All right. I think it fits. I think that would be a way to talk about number three, probably a subset of number three. Right? Because what you're talking about there is, I'm assuming, starting with the leadership, that you're being transparent, and that indicates I trust you folks with this. And as people open up, they're trusting each other, trusting the group. Trust is relational. So. Say again?
If there's a seven, it would go, I guess it would go in that trust subset.
Right.
That when we pray, make it clear that what we pray about stays in that realm.
Right. We're going to get to that later. That's on another list, but absolutely. So that's good. Add number six there, transparency, which is just trying to develop the group dynamic, the group relationship, the safety, that this is a safe place for me to be real. I can be more real here than I can be, again, in a Sunday school class, which is more geared toward content delivery. I can be more real here than I can be in church, necessarily. So that's good. All right. Let's move on. Seven elements of an effective meeting. Seven elements of an effective meeting. Number one, food and fellowship. Especially for new groups. Some of you guys are going to have established groups. The Lees, the folks out at Hunt. Your group's pretty much established. You can tweak some of this. But if you've got a brand new group, I think this is hugely important. You've got 30 to 45 minutes of casual, intentional interaction. It's just loose as can be. There's people at different tables. No controlled seating. People sit where they want. It just happens. And food, of course, is a great way to bring all that together. So I don't feel like this is unspiritual to say. I mean, it's a gift from God. Food was a great blessing in our group. Brought us together, gave us things to talk about, things to share, things to enjoy together. Just kind of a great launching pad. And so don't diminish the importance. Number two, group discussion of the word, the sermon. So I've assigned some times here. They're loose, of course. An effective meeting has got to have some content. Now, there's always exceptions, right? You may have a meeting along the way where you just decide, you know what? It's just going to be nothing but fellowship and conversation this whole time. And that's okay. But I don't think you want to do that every single time. I think our church and our people are going to want some structure and some content. And it may be content that you bring. It may be we're discussing the sermon. Number three, then, is prayer. And so these first three I will call the big three. And that's going to come up again later when we talk about the meetings. These are the three big components of an effective, successful home group. What we're after, okay? The times can be tweaked, all right? But you need these three things. You need loose, intentional, casual interaction. You need group discussion with some content, and you need to be praying for each other and with each other. The order, the timing, you know, but that's a tripod. There's your illustration. You're going to hold up a good home group with this tripod. This stool has three legs. You need these three areas. Now, these others will just kind of fill in around it. Number four, confidentiality. Confidentiality is essential to effective meetings in an effective group. The opposite will absolutely destroy a group and will prevent everything we want to happen from happening. Okay? Confidentiality is not an absolute thing. That's a myth. There's no absolute guarantee that everything you would ever tell me would be kept confidential. Right? Because that could involve me having to sin. Yeah, so it's not an absolute thing. It's within boundaries, proper boundaries of what should stay confidential. Number five, start and end on time. Start and end on time and have a two-hour limit. Most groups should be between an hour and a half and 2 hours. Now, if it goes beyond that, that's fine, but you need to have an ending. And then if you want to hang out and other people want to hang out and visit and whatever, that's totally fine. But don't let that be the whole meeting, because there are people that want to go and need to go. And they will feel guilty getting up and interrupting, whatever. So we start on time, we end on time, and we say, hey, we live here. We're not going anywhere. You know. And if someone just needs to stay and talk confidentially, that's something else. Right? So I think this is very important. Again, it's a matter of respect of people's time, respect of people's schedules, and your own as well. So just jump in with comments or questions as we go. Number six, intentional yet flexible. I think we can thank Michael Hawkins for number six here. This was his wording, as I remember. Intentional yet flexible, predictable but not rigid. Intentional yet flexible, predictable but not rigid. And then number seven, foster mutual ministry. Home groups are not about fostering the ministry of the leader to the group. Foster mutual ministry among the group. Develop it, grow it, foster it, encourage it. For example, you're in the discussion and somebody asks you, the group leader, a biblical question, theological question, related to the sermon question. Most of our instincts is going to be, boom, jump on it and answer it. Mm-hmm. A good option would be, that's a great question. Howard, what do you think about that? That's a great question. Does anybody else have something to add to that, what Mike said? And so it's fostering and developing others to open their mouths, speak up, and share what they're thinking. You don't want it to, you know, be about the leader. It's not about the leader. It's not about developing a little group of followers. It's not about developing fans. It's not about developing disciples of your own, you know. So, okay. Any questions or comments here on effective meetings? You guys have been doing this. You guys have experience at it. You've had good meetings. You've had not so good meetings. Is there anything else we should highlight here? When you've had a particularly effective, good meeting, any of you that's been doing this, think back to that meeting. Think back to some of your, wow, that went really well. Why? Okay. Yeah, we're going to get to that one later. Absolutely. So there was the dependence on God to make this happen, for sure. What else? What else as you just reflect back? You know, this is how you kind of do biblical counseling. When you have a train wreck in life, you think back. What could I have done different? When things go well in your marriage, or well in your parenting, or well in your home group, you think back and say, "What did we do? Why did it go well? What can we repeat? Okay? What can we repeat?"
We had a situation once where someone who had been silent for weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden they just opened up and were transparent.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. All right. So, was there something done to that seemed to encourage that?
It was just a safe environment.
And it just took that much time?
It just took that time.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. So, that'd be something easy to just kind of brush over. That is a significant home group victory. That is something to celebrate right there. That is something to thank God for, that we had this person who it took them several weeks to finally feel safe and comfortable, and now they're speaking up. And that those are the things we're going for right there. That's what we're hoping to have happen. Yeah, Carson?
I would say communication. One thing that we did last year was to share some of these expectations, to say this is what we intend to do.
Okay.
And that came really from doing this last year,
right,
this training, and saying and telling the group, this is what you can expect.
That's great.
Now, we were on record for having to go do that, mm-hmm, make sure that we didn't fall away or forget or whatever. And then people knew, like, this is how the meeting should go. This is about how long we should stay.
Right.
You know, in the same way, talking about communicating, you're expected to commit and attend. In the first meeting or two, remind people what we're doing here and why.
Right.
And this is the way the meeting should go.
That's great. Yeah, everybody hearing that? Mm-hmm. That is spot on. Communicate the expectations of the group on the front end. Share some of this stuff with the group. That's just excellent, because you got accountability, you got people, we're on the same path, we're on the same track. Now I get it. Because you're going to have people coming into your groups that are brand new to home groups in our church, or they've done groups in other churches that had a different purpose or focus. And so to have people come in and go, oh, wow, that just corrected a misconception, you know, perhaps, and whatever. So, yeah, absolutely good stuff. Communicate expectations, what you're about, how long you're going to meet, how it's going to work. Anything else? Effective meeting. You know, I didn't mention this at all, but I think we should put it on here. It's just the environment. What I mean by that is just your house, your comfortableness, your seating arrangement. You've really thought through. You've made it as comfortable thermostat-wise. You've made it as comfortable seating-wise as you're able to do in your setting. Environment's important. How we're set up, how traffic flow works. You just think through those things, right? How's it all gonna work? Okay, let's move on. How to have effective prayer. So prayer is one of the big three items of our meeting. And it's probably the one that's going to get shortchanged most frequently. It's probably the one that will be the hardest to protect. It'll get squeezed out, right? Just like it gets squeezed out of our private lives. Right? We read the Bible usually more than we actually pray. There's so many other things that are easier to do than to pray. And so it usually gets the short end of the stick. So let's focus on the prayer part for a moment. Number one, men with men, which of course means women with women. Mixed praying of a group of people that are not really, really, really close doesn't work very well. In fact, you might even say at times it doesn't work at all. Not to what we're trying to get to. I've had 3 years of consistent examples of this with our groups. Because we have a new group every year, totally new group, totally new dynamic, and I don't know that we've ever had a really, what I would call a really good, profitable time of prayer as an entire group. But we've had very effective prayer when we've separated. So, number two, here's a pet peeve of mine. This addresses the pet peeve. What do you think the blanks are?
Specific.
Oh, that's a good one, but no.
Pray the request instead of say.
Yes. Pray request instead of share requests. Pray request instead of share requests. The classic Wednesday night prayer meeting. We spend 45 minutes sharing requests, 5 minutes praying requests, and we leave. So why do we, you know, most prayer requests don't need to be shared. Just pray them. And we get it, you know. So, and again, communicate that. As we separate for prayer, say, hey, here's what we're going to do. Instead of sharing your request, just pray it and we'll join you. And you pour out your heart with your request and we'll be praying alongside. Number three, pick a prayer topic. So instead of, man, just kind of we're all over the place with our prayers. These are just ideas, right? Just suggestions. Come on in, guys. Maybe think about having a topic some nights. We're going to focus on marriages, our marriages, marriages of our church, parenting, our kids, our teens, our youth group. We're going to pray for Awana tonight. We're going to pray for the Moses family tonight. We're going to pray for, wow, something just happened in the life of our church. There's been a loss, there's been a death, there's been a tragedy, whatever. So forth, so on. So that can be very effective. Just hone everybody's distracted thoughts. We're going all over the place. Let's just, man, like a laser, let's get in on one thing and let's just cover this in prayer tonight. Maybe it's a one thing in the life of your group that rises to that level. Okay? Very effective. Number four, we've been doing this in our staff meetings now for a while. We've been doing it at our elder meetings for a while. Somebody called it popcorn prayer. Popcorn prayer. And I really believe this is the most effective way to pray as a group. So, instead of eight people are in a circle and we're going to go around the circle and everybody's going to pray and everybody's going to be expected to pray and it's going to get awkward because that person might not pray or they might be done, but we're not sure if they're done. And then sometimes they need to pray and they just go on and on and on and it's like this 15-minute prayer and everybody's kind of falling asleep. Popcorn prayer blows all that up and it's pop, 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 pop. Short, concise prayers bouncing from all over the room, all over the group. So you pray more than once. This is where the analogy breaks down. The corn can pop more than once. It doesn't get just one shot. You don't feel like you have to dump the whole truck load at one time. Right? You're going to get more opportunities. And something John prays reminded me of something I forgot to pray about. Now I pray about it. That reminds Carson to pray for something. And it's very organic. It's more spirit-led. It's more intimate. It's more intuitive. So I highly, highly recommend this and explain it and show people what you mean. And when you explain that, you know, this means that our prayers, they get shorter. They're concise. They may just be two or three words. They may be one sentence. In fact, I would say to you, just off the subject, but on the subject, the most effective prayers that we pray are the groans and the short pleading, begging, crying out to God prayers. It's those prayers we just piling up the words that, you know, they're... So we want to teach people how to pray. And this is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. So we may, you know, a topic may pop up, and we're praying, somebody needs a job. And so the first person prays for Jim to get a job, and then the others start to feed off of that prayer, staying on the same topic. And wow, it's really powerful. So if you haven't done that, please do it. Okay, but we want to insist on sharing our prayer requests first. That brings us to number five. Share, then what? Pray. Repeat. Share, then pray. All right, so this is effective too. And now we've done this. And again, variety is the spice of life. So one night your prayer time is going to be, okay, guys, we're all together now. And so here's what we want to do. We're going to go around and everybody's going to share a personal, transparent, good luck with that in your first couple of meetings, a personal, transparent prayer request, okay? And then that person shares that. And then we say, okay, maybe it's the person to his right. Or maybe we just assign. Okay, Steve has shared. Okay, so Billie Jean, can you pray for that? And we pray right now. It's fresh on our minds. He's just shared it. We pray for it. Then we go on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And everybody shares. This was, Steve, I don't know if you remember one of our groups out on our porch, and I just share with you guys, you know what, we got to get below the surface. Let's be transparent. Let's be real. And everybody shares something personal that they need in their own life. And I felt like it was one of the best prayer times we had. And people were men. You know, men were being transparent and confidential. You know, so. All right, then number six. This is another one for Michael. Pray with one another between meetings. So it doesn't just happen in the meeting. I may call, and we may pray over the phone, or I may send you a prayer text. May the Lord, da 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 da. I'm asking God to do da 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 for you today. Just, I was thinking about you today and thanking God for your faith and the growth I've seen. And or it may be an email where I write out a prayer for someone, or I may go to lunch with someone, or as a couple we may go to lunch with another couple or whatever, and we spend a few minutes there at lunch praying. So, man, how much is number six going to help one through five? Right? Once we've come back and we've gathered. All right. Anything else to ask or add about prayer? And what you found that worked or maybe didn't work? We just want to learn from each other, okay? It's not, you guys have some experience in this, so. Anything? All right. Moving on. What works well? I don't think I gave you any. Oh, yeah, sure.
Having been in sales for many years, I realize that the person who speaks first sometimes is the loser. and so silence is a good thing. And so if, as a leader, if you feel compelled to fill up all the silence with something, you don't offer an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to touch someone to say a word.
Right. Right, right, good, okay. Right. So you're talking about particularly during the prayer time and not feeling like as the leader you've got to fill up the dead space. Yeah. It's good. And then while there's dead space, you can just be praying silently, right? And just let people come forth. Yeah.
Last year in our home group, something I really enjoyed about the prayer time was we would all go around and share, but then it was opened up for, okay, who would like to pray for this person? Who would like to pray
good.
For that person? Which I think was neat because it gave us all an opportunity to lift each other up.
Right.
And when you heard somebody sharing a request that maybe you had some experience with that and you kind of understood where they were at, and you really felt like, ooh, I want to pray for that because I connect with that.
That's good. That's
so
good, yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Everybody hear that? That's good. I'm repeating some of this, making sure it's on the recording. So. That's another piece of variety. Instead of assigning or just going in some kind of order, who would like to pray for that? who would like to pray for that? Because there can be that experiential, emotional connection. Excellent. Yeah. All right. What works well? What works well? Themed potluck. Oh my, this has been one of my favorite parts of home group. Themed potlucks, and the possibilities are endless. If you're not creative, just Google it, okay? They're endless, from Cajun to salads to soups to cold to hot to bring your own. I mean, we've done a little bit of everything. We did one night where we just said, bring your own supper. You're not going to share it. Just go through your favorite drive-thru, pick up what you want to bring, and show up. And it was great. And it was fun because, like, oh, get to see what you like to go eat when you just go. You know, we had Schlotzky's to Subway to Taco Casa. So, but, man, we've done all kinds of themes here. And it's been a fun thing to do. People get into it, and we send it out early in the week, and people share on the email chain what they're bringing so we don't double up and everybody knows, you know, who's bringing what. Fun stuff. Icebreaker games and icebreaker questions, especially if you're a group of strangers. I think this has worked well. We've, with some new groups, we spent as much as 2 or 3 meetings. Very lighthearted, very casual, getting to know, having fun, different kinds of games to just have laughs with each other and enjoy each other. Number 3, use your sermon questions that we're going to be sending you. So you'll have that always to fall back on as your content and certainly as your starting point. 4th bullet point there. Now, if you do summer sessions and you're not required, again, I think it's encouraged but not required. If you do them, if they're going to work for your group, I highly recommend that you share the hosting of those. So that's been our routine for the last 3 years. We've hosted 9 months, September through May, and then we let it loose for June, July, and August. And for our group, what we've done is we've done 2 a month for the 9 months and then 1 a month for the summer. And then the ones in the summer, we meet somewhere else. So that has worked really well for us, except this year we just could not pull off the July meeting. The July fell apart. It was the first Sunday after the 4th. We had a host. We had somebody in our group volunteer their house. We just didn't have anybody that would come. So we ended up going to do June and August. In June, the Simmons, Randy and Judy Simmons, hosted out in Ingram. Our July hosting cup family was going to be in Bandera. And then August is Hank and Susan Grady. And I tell you, after doing 18 meetings at your house, cleaning your house on Sunday afternoon, right? Getting ready. I mean, you're ready to go, hey, this is nice to just get in the car and go to somebody else's house. and to do that for the summer. And it's ownership, and it allows you to see how other people live and how they operate and so forth. Highly recommend that. You could be training up a future home group leader. Okay? That could be their first step into, hey, I think we could do this. Let's see how it goes with a one-off, one-time shot at it. So, all right. And then what works well? Open-ended questions. Open-ended questions, not yes or no questions. Why questions, how questions, what did you discover questions. Trying to get people to get beyond the surface. All right, let's turn the page. What hasn't worked well? I've already talked about it, big group prayer if the group isn't close. I made that mistake, won't do that again. Tried a big group prayer, I think our first meeting. And I think out of about 16 people, I think 3 people prayed. And they prayed as short and as shallow as they possibly could to get it over with, right? And to break the awkward silence. And so I said, we weren't ready for that. I just tried to push something on this whole group, and the group wasn't ready. And so, learn from my mistake. What doesn't work well? Kids running wild and free. I don't even know how you can have a home group at all if you've got a passel of kids running wild and free. We're going to come back to that one in a minute when we get through the list, because I really want to talk about the child care plan. What hasn't worked? No plan, no direction, no leadership, and no content. Now, if you want to just blow your group away, you know, have a lot of that for about the first 5 or 6 meetings and then not have it. I tried it one night. The one night at y'all's house, I really had nothing. I had nothing planned when I got there. I just could not land on a question, a content, a discussion. And I just said to myself, I'm just going to let it go. We're just going to eat. And we were at 2 different tables, I think, and people are always talking. I always have to interrupt to gather the group. I'm just not going to do it. I noticed after everybody finished eating, the talking continued on, and then it just kind of did like this on its own. And then everybody kind of started gathering in a big circle on their own, and everybody got quiet on their own. And then they all kind of started looking in my direction. I'm like, okay, y'all want to talk about something, obviously. So you can do that once or twice in your whole span of meeting, but no plan, no direction, no leadership, no content will mean no group. It'll mean you'll get some quality private time with your wife. You'll have a date night at home. Because people will stop coming. Along those lines, we've talked about this earlier in another form, but inconsistent meetings, inconsistent times and places. Again, you may have this come up, but we want to shoot for, we've got a schedule, and we know where we're going to meet without too many surprises. And then I added here, for some groups, trying to meet in the summer has not worked. So again, that's why I say that's an optional. You've got the option of the summer, and you've got the option of 2 a month or 1 a month. And you know your life, you know your schedule, you know your group. And my challenge to you would be to do what is best for your group on those questions. I don't like the feeling of we finish in May and the next meeting's not till September. And we're not doing Sunday school. And people miss a lot of church. That gives me an uneasy feeling as a shepherd. And so I try to counterbalance that with people are busy, people are gone, it's summer, all of that. And so, okay, let's do the 1 and see how it works. You know, you're tracking with me now as a leader. You're really a shepherd. You're a pastor of men and women in your group. And so when you start to get that mindset that this is not just a social gathering to eat some really good food, then it argues for frequency and regularity. Because I'm really investing in the life of these people and I want to keep up with them some way or another. All right. Yes, anything you add on this? Not everybody, a few of you share what hasn't worked. Okay, fill out the list. What hasn't worked in your meeting? Something you tried and it didn't work. Any examples? Help the rest of us not make the same mistake. Yeah?
Cooking all the food, it's a lot of pressure, and then people don't have something that they've committed to bring.
Right.
It's easy to back out at the last minute, or the kids are tired, it's been a long week, and there's time to go.
Okay.
The food is not only ownership, shared responsibility, but it's a bit of a token.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To prepare that, you have to, like you said, the email, if here's the theme, who's going to bring what. And so that's all those emails are reminders.
Right.
If you send one reminder email of a meeting this Sunday, just the nature of email these days, people get lots of them.
Right.
It's overlooked, but when you get the group replies and there's 10 of them,
exactly.
As annoying as that is.
Right. right? We could put that under what works well, and that's the you're fine. That's the email. The email reminders takes more than one. Jeez. What did I do a while back, Ken? When I was on vacation, I was in the wrong week. Remember that with the mission board meeting?
Oh yes.
Yeah, I was. Yes. I went on vacation. I was in an entirely wrong week, and so I'm thinking the mission board meeting's coming up, and I'm emailing Ken about what I think about my vote on the meeting and all this stuff. It's already happened. It was last week. I said I've really have unplugged. And he's like, yes, you have.
You need
no, that's what you really said. You said, yeah, that's good. All right. Speaking of what hasn't worked well, 7 pitfalls to avoid. All right, let's do this. 7 pitfalls to avoid. Is this even a word? Unbalanced? Or is it imbalanced? Unbalanced is a word? Okay, good. Unbalanced with your time. Okay. Unbalanced with your time. What I mean is you got your 2-hour slot and you use 1 hour and 50 minutes at supper and casual and whatever. And, oh, oops, we got 10 minutes to ask 4 sermon questions and pray together. Train wreck. So what's the correction? Stick with the big 3. Casual, intentional time together. Fellowship. Big 3. Fellowship. Content, prayer. Fellowship, the word, prayer. That's our big 3. So that's where I've got to stay balanced. Those are my 3 buckets that I need to fill up. Before the night's over, each bucket needs to be full. All right, number 2. I didn't really do this to pick on you, Tom, and your wife. It just worked this way. Because you're really not over-talkative Tom. So over-talkative Tom or silent Susie. This is definitely a pitfall. Definitely a pitfall. So you guys help us now with a solution to each.
You can redirect and ask somebody else what you think, so-and-so. Okay. Don't just always leave it open for dead space because that person will always interject.
Well, grab that dead space.
Okay. You can just redirect it to somebody else.
All right. Okay. And how do we do that kindly but firmly? So can you demonstrate it? Because I'm butting in every time you ask a question, and I've got a Mr. Bible Answer Man over here.
Steve, what do you think? Tell us what you think.
Okay, so you stop looking at me.
Right.
Your eyes shifted from me to him.
Right.
And call him out. So, and then hopefully he'll run with it, right?
And typically you want to pick somebody that you know is going to say something, not go to silence you.
Right. Okay. All right. Anything else on that person? We're probably all going to have, would you agree? Everybody's been in doing a group. Everybody's going to have at least one, if not more than one, right? They're going to be in your group. Both of these extremes are going to be in your group. Okay. Anything else on the over-talkative?
I think you have to be careful in your first few meetings with a new group because over-talkative Tom may actually need to say something and Susie may need a little chance to warm up.
Right.
So
right.
After you get past the first couple of meetings, then you and your wife have to discuss how you're going to maneuver.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. So, we give them so what I'm hearing there is you're saying you give them a little bit of leash and some grace,
yes.
A couple of meetings, kind of get the lay of the land, get the feel of things. The issue with these is when it just goes on and on and on, right? It becomes the dominant thing. Mm-hmm. And this will actually kill your group.
Mm-hmm.
people will stop coming for the one side of this. So that's good. All right, let's go back to your example. Let's say you did that and Steve hesitated, and because I'm so impatient and I've got the right answer, I came right back.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, but I'd like to hear what Steve has to add on to that.
Okay, all right, okay, good.
Maybe going the opposite way, we're going to talk about the Silent Susie, maybe during your fellowship time, she is more active at talking to somebody, and maybe your wife can say, hey, would you like to share that with the group? Just kind of prep them and say, you know, that's very interesting. I'd like to share that with the group if you feel comfortable.
Good.
And so just kind of build that up so that you're not just putting them on the spot, because that person put on the spot would be very uncomfortable.
And right.
Want to come back after.
By the way, I'm really good at that in my group, putting people on the spot. If you ever need pointers on that, but no, that's it. So you're in the meal time, and somebody shared something with you, right? And so you're like, hey, that would be great for everybody to hear. Would you share that later when we're whatever? That's
actually
good.
You usually say, or he usually say no at that time, then they don't feel as awkward.
Right, right.
If they don't want to share it in a big group, that's right, everybody knows I don't want to talk about that or whatever.
Right. That's good. That's good. There may come a time and place for the, maybe either one of these, for a conversation outside the group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one.
A conversation outside the group time. Go to lunch or call them on the phone, conversation. For either side of this extreme, to try to bring about the needed solution. So just be ready. You're going to have probably one, at least one of both. Third pitfall, the leader. What do you think?
Dominates.
There's a lot of words we can put in there. I put lectures. The leader lectures. And the leader preaches. And the leader dominates. The leader overly leads. What is the solution? Fire the leader. What is the solution? Wives, this is where you come in. So the wife is going to be the person most perceptive of this, most aware of this, and most equipped to, after the meeting, say, shut up. Zip it. Let them talk. Or within the meeting, you know, you can capital signals, little cues.
It's that kick in the shin.
Yeah, the kick, the elbow, the stare, the.
Where's
the right. Oh, yeah.
You mean this?
Exactly. All right. So, some of us as leaders have more of a propensity to do this than others. Know yourself, leaders, and try to not let that happen. Number four, lose track of time and go on and on and on and on and on. Lose track of time. That is a pitfall to avoid. That's going to take you back to number one. You need to have a clock going on in your head. You need to have a shot clock. You need to have a time frame. You need to have a sense of where things are without having to be obvious about it. Have some strategically placed clocks in your house so you don't okay. Be able to stay in tune with the clock. Number five, related to time, waste. A pitfall is to waste large amounts of time. Time is short. Redeem the time. Days are evil. Get to it. We don't have all day here. Right, so there's this balance where we want this comfortable, relaxed, intentional time, but we don't want to just sit here and waste our time together. Got better things to be doing than talk about the weather, the sports, the news for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes of precious home group time. Okay? So all things in moderation, all things in balance. Watch out for those big, large amounts of time that get wasted. And then before you know this, if you've ever taught, if you ever preached, if you've ever led something, the time goes faster when you're leading it than when you're in the other side of the coin. The time flies by. So beware. All right, number six. This goes to Jim's point. Other points have been made. A pitfall to avoid is fail to ask God to help us. Or fail to thank him afterwards. And number seven, allowing false doctrine or bad counsel without gentle correction. Wow, this is where the leaders earn their stripes.
Yes, it is.
This is where you earn your pay.
You have to be aware and not be afraid to say something.
And know where those lines are.
Yes.
This is not easy. There's heresy. There's orthodoxy, heterodoxy, and heresy. And you got to know the difference between the three. Orthodoxy, heterodoxy, and heresy. Heresy is what damns people to hell. Heresy is false gospel. Heresy is a truth that if I believe it, I cannot be saved. Heterodoxy is, I'm saved and I'm on track, but I'm just kind of off track a little bit. It's not damnable. It's not a heresy. It's just wrong. But I can still be saved and believe it. And orthodoxy is straight up accurate truth. So this can be very difficult to know when to say something and when to let it go. Right? Because sure enough, what's going to happen is about week four, Silent Susie finally opens her mouth and it's one of these two things. And you go, oh, I've got to be so gentle right here. So careful.
What about free will?
Right. Yeah. 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 Just they ain't said a word for 2 months and then they're quote, what about free will and predestination? Can you explain that?
Well, sometimes those are the easy ones.
Well, yeah, maybe. So you see the combination here. One is the doctrine issue. One is not doctrinal. It's like, wow, something's come up and there's some counsel being given as a group and somebody just gives some really bad counsel. Maybe it's blatantly unbiblical. Maybe it's just not real prudent, not real wise. So again, underline gentle. As leaders, we can't allow these things to continue on without some form of gentle correction. Doesn't mean right now in the moment. Again, you're a shepherd. You got to know your group. Maybe you got a group of really 10 mature people and this one new Christian, one immature person, and they say something off the wall and you know everybody in the group knows it's wrong. You don't need to pounce on it because everybody knows. You're not protecting anybody. So then that is in private. That's off to the side. You say, hey, remember our discussion? You said this. Again, this is part of leadership. And this kind of goes back, I think, Lord, to what we were talking about a few weeks ago. Some of this can happen when we're separated in our men group and women group, if you do that. Some of this right here, number 7, can happen. And then, ladies, it's on you to properly address it. As those things come about. All of these things, if you look at them, except really with the number 6, because number 6 is private, people don't know about it. But you look at those others, and here's what they have in common. They will frustrate and annoy the group to no end. These will kill a group because they're frustrating to be in a group where this is happening over and over and over and over. And it takes all the joy and fun out of it, and it just becomes, I don't want to go anymore because of some combination of 1 through 5 and number 7. Right? Y'all with me? Y'all agree with that? That these are the things that if I'm in the group, is going to take the pleasure away of being part of this group. So that's why we want to avoid them. All right, that's pretty much the content. We got some logistic stuff below. I want to circle back up to the kids. So, and this really is relevant to everybody in the group. So you guys all saw my email. Did everybody see the email with the idea? This would be a radical change. Child care would become centralized. It was your idea.
Yes.
Child care would become centralized here at the church, meaning every group could have young families. Every group could have age diversity. That's a plus, perhaps. How you think of that? Right now, let me just back up. Right now, we have 2 groups that are committed to having children out of, I think we're going to be around 13 or 14 total. We got 95 kids in the church. Now, some of those are older, so I don't know what our number is, 12. Let's say the kids that need child care, 11 and below, 50. You ever take? So right now, Conklin's and the Huffman's are the only two groups that are kid-friendly. So you get 25 kids each if we have a good day. Right. Unworkable. Unworkable solution. So a suggestion has been made as a solution that if you wanted to have families in your group, you don't have to, but if you wanted to, if you wanted to be quote-unquote a kid-friendly group, then all of those groups would have to meet at the same times. We'd have to agree on a schedule, and we'd have centralized child care. The parents bring their kids here, ages 0 to 11, and then those kids would be cared for by our nursery group in three different groups, I'm assuming. You know, we just divide that those ages into thirds. And then you go have your group, and then you come back and get your kids. And while they're here, they would have structure. They would eat, because they would bring their supper, and they would eat, and they would have a craft or game time or something, and they might even have a little content time. Might be a video, might be something. So there would be, probably three segments of some kind of structure. Not just, hey, we're dumping our kids at the gym for 2 hours of free-for-all. So I really want to hear primarily from you guys as to what y'all think about this, because I know there's trade-offs here. Because I know you like having your kids involved. You want your kids to see ministry in your house. You want them to be part of this and not just, oh, let's go take the kids to church once again, you know. So this is kind of where we are. And I guess you guys, Strausses, y'all are still thinking about it and maybe leading and hosting here in town? Possibly? Okay. All right. So. So that would be a third group, but that's not really all ironed out as to where that group is going to be, right? We don't know that. What we're thinking is you guys lead it and someone else host it here in town, right? Okay. So that would be, we would have three groups if that happened. Reaction: Conklin's, Huffman's, Strauss's, and you guys are going to stick with your college career group. So your kids are here. That's a Wednesday night. Awesome. Yeah. So. What's y'all's thoughts?
I like what he said. I like having our kids at our house, and I don't feel like, oddly enough, our kids this year were the only kids in our group.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were quiet, you know, it wasn't a hassle for anybody.
Right.
But I wonder if other parents would agree with me for multiple reasons and would want their kids to continue
to go to school. So,
I guess it would be, some would welcome that idea with open arms, and some like
logistically
prefer to have
them
at the group.
Right. It's a little extra. I mean, it's a trade-off for the parents too. It's the extra work, it's the extra trip, mm-hmm. right? More time. Now, home group is now really 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. So I've got to get them there, get them settled, and then get to my home group, and then we have 2 hours of home group, and then I go back to the church, wherever that is in relationship. So that's that trade-off, but then there's the trade-off of, hey, we kind of like, we don't have to worry about our kids.
There's probably some parents that would like a couple hours without the kids, yeah. I mean, so we live close by, so that's not a change things. But if you lived 20 minutes away, 15, yeah. You could become other side of town, that would be a problem.
Yeah. You were.
I was just agreeing with him.
Okay.
I will say for us, just, and this is us. We all know we have 4 kids. We don't get much of a break. Even if we are at somebody's house, we had some of the youth come and help us. We had how many kids in our group? 20 some odd. And even though the youth that were there helping, they did a fantastic job, but we still have the, oh, that's my kid crying because he got hit with something, you know, so let's go take care of it. So we never fully got just the, even if I went to go take care of it, he's thinking, what is she having to deal with, you know, so it takes us out of the equation. However, I do agree with Lindsay in the fact that our kids, if we do that, our kids will miss out on seeing us in that ministry, fellowshipping with other couples, families from the church. However, that is on us as a couple and as parents to maybe do that elsewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Well, Lainey, go ahead. Maybe you're thinking what I'm thinking.
My thought is that maybe the difference is having real little kids be off-site and older kids.
Stay.
I mean, maybe 11 isn't the cutoff. Maybe it's 6.
Right.
Or different age.
Well, just your own kids. That's where I was saying. Just your own kids are home.
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody else's kids are not there. And so it's kind of...
And something like that I would object to, because I know our kids are real excited about having home group at our home, and they enjoy that time with other kids from church.
Okay,
and
right.
With our kids going to public school, we don't have anybody else from church that our kids are go to Daniel's. And so for them to have another opportunity to interact with church kids.
Mm-hmm. So what's your...
And I enjoy that. So,
what's your thoughts on where that happens?
Oh, you mean like if it all happened here?
Yeah.
The only thought I would have on that is, you know, we're a 15-minute drive from church, so we, that's just another...
Right.
We have to bring our kids over and back, so we have to... And then after group's over, it's another half hour.
And that's when you're getting your house ready and doing the last minute
preparations,
and then, you know, cleaning up.
It's difficult.
And I know we do, if we have kids, we have groups, people in our groups who have younger kids, it's a school night, it's a Sunday night, so you really want your kids ready for school Monday morning, so you don't want it to get too late.
Right.
But I also see the benefit of having all the kids here. It gives them a... Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
Kind of torn. Yeah. Luke?
One thing we did in Houston is we had our home group had couples that were close enough together where we dropped the kids off at one house and had a babysitter. And we met as adults in the other house. We were about 5 minutes apart, so the time wasn't too bad.
Swapped?
Yeah. The kids always met at our house, and we had a babysitter or however many appropriate supervisors were there, but they were hired. They weren't part of the fellowship group.
I see.
And then the fellowship group met at the house 5 minutes away.
Okay. Just something more, same idea, just more convenient.
Right. Yep. And a smaller amount of kids, and the kids were all from the fellowship group, so it sort of got the accomplished what she was talking about with the kids playing with other kids.
Just that group. Just that group, yeah. Right. Shannon?
So I have kind of two thoughts. For me, I kind of like, you know, with the kids, you're always, it feels like you have one ear on the kids and you're not 100% focused.
Right.
I think that would help, especially with the younger kids. The other thing, I don't know if this would help or be worse logistically, but could we bump the time earlier so we're done earlier? Like the groups that we know we have little kids for school nights.
Right.
Maybe part of the food. But would people be willing to eat a little bit? You know, since it's all adults, taking a break and then eating or something, and then that we were done earlier, so we can pick up our kids and get ready for the week.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think my sense on when to start, we really haven't ever talked about this, but our groups have done 5:30 after daylight saving times. We've done 5:30 and 5. You know, I don't think you go any earlier than 5.
We did 4:30.
Y'all did 4:30.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's because y'all all go to sleep at 8:30. I mean, bedtime's at like 8:30, so we got to wrap this up.
But it worked. You know, we did
4:30
once we
got to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that. Yeah. So I mean, I think that's within each group to determine when you'd want to start. 4:30 to 6:30, 5 to 7, 5:30, 7:30. I think we did, another thing about it, we did 5:30 and 6. Yeah. So.
Oh,
Yes.
Could you have some groups that were signed up who were going to do kids only at church, and then some groups that were going to be kid friendly there?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can have any combination of variables, but it just gets more complicated to administrate. And we would lose our bang for the buck as far as if we've got five nursery workers here and we're paying them all, it would make more sense to coordinate all of that and have everybody in one place. And so, I mean, yeah, it could be any combination of any of these ideas. And so it gets complicated. And it's relevant for everybody else because, I mean, if we did have centralized, so I'll give you an example. Kathy and Jack, they're not here. They want an age-diverse group. They want young families in their group, but they're not equipped to have kids at their house. And so they love this idea because this now opens their sign-up to the whole demographic.
It does.
But it's got to be... If we go that route, then it's got to be on a schedule. It's got to be, everybody's got to be on the same schedule.
I think it'd be worth trying. I mean, it's an experimental year.
Yeah.
We try this.
Or even an experimental quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're never going to know if it works.
Right.
Until you try.
Right.
That's the reality.
Right. So right.
You can talk about it until you're blue in the face.
Right.
Until you're willing to put some teeth to it.
Yep.
Give it a shot.
Is anybody.
It would be a structured time.
Right. Right.
A lesson or something mm-hmm. that they would be
right. learning from. Right. Right. That, and, you know, that part of the, again, on the parents, you know, another step in this is you're going to be packing them a little meal of some sort to bring on those nights. So are the people most affected by this, you guys, is anybody opposed to us trying it and saying we're going to have centralized childcare on the first and the third Sundays, or we can pick second and fourth. I mean, but we just got to do it that way, right? And we can go ahead and plan this, and then every group can have whoever. And we'll say we're trying it for the semester. Is anybody opposed to that? I mean, I don't have a decision here. I'm looking for you guys. Is anybody opposed to that? Huh? Well, anybody, y'all opposed to that?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up?
Yes. Strauss?
Is everybody okay with first and third?
First and third.
First and third Sundays of each month will be.
That would be our goal, only from the standpoint of work schedules.
Yeah.
So when you get in second and fourth month of the months, our family can't weekends for us.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I mean, that's very selfish.
We don't want to dictate everybody else. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, if nobody else has
you
anything.
We have to do first and third. We're not like that.
No. But if everybody else is easy, first, that's good information.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, first and third, childcare at church. Okay, so we gotta agree on a time. Then, right? We got to agree on time. So either 5 to 7, or 5:30 to 7:30.
5 to 7. 5 to 7 has the time the kids are here.
No, I think you can drop them off 15 minutes before. Yep. We have to pick them up back later than 15 minutes after.
Okay, 15 minutes is your thing. So that means your home group time is 5 to 7.
And so that helps with the time frame too. So people won't be lingering per se. I mean, they can linger if you want to with one of the kids, but you want to be courteous to the nursing workers as well.
Right. Okay. 15 minute.
So you're saying they're gonna be locked outside as of
7:00. We live close by, so they walk.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's lights.
It's when we go back to the next part. Exactly.
It's okay, Matt. Everybody on I-10 is trustworthy and safe. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay, so we're on first and third, we're on 5 to 7. So now what this means for everybody else. listen carefully, because you're going to have to, everybody's got to email me some info. We're getting to that in a minute. But what part of the info that you're going to email me is whether you are kid friendly, meaning you're going to line up with this schedule. If you don't want to line up with this schedule and you don't want to be kid friendly and your group's already full, that's fine. That's totally fine, and I just need to know that. So you may have an entirely different schedule. Like Conklin's, I guess what this will mean for you guys is you'll pick one of those for your monthly meeting, right?
Yeah, we've been the second, but it makes a difference to us.
Yeah, so you pick one, and that's fine too. So, okay. We'll get to some of that. Let's go on through the rest of this, and if there's nothing else there. Real quick, how do we add members during the year? Two ways. You can add them on your own. You know what your group's capable of. You know what your house is capable of. You can add them. Or sometimes I will try to add them in coordination with you. So we get notified through people that visit. Hey, do you have home groups? Yes. Are you interested? Yes. And so then I start calling you guys or emailing you guys. Do you have room? This has happened with you guys this past year. And that's how we'll add midstream, okay? So just know that you can add until you're at your maximum on your own if you wish. How are new groups formed each year? I want to put this out there real quick for you because this is part of your task as a leader, is you're always looking for the next leader. Doesn't just end with you. So how does this happen? Number one, current leaders identify an apprentice. And the fill in the blank is discern. Discern. Okay, everybody tracking? Number two, share leadership with your apprentice. What's the word?
Delegate.
Delegate. So your first couple of months, first half of your meetings, whatever, you're identifying and then you're beginning to share. So what might that look like? November, Ken has identified somebody in his group and he says on, you know, a week or so notice, I'm going to email you the sermon discussion questions and I'd like for you to lead the discussion to facilitate this. Along the way. All right, number three. Now that they've done that, let's evaluate the leadership of the apprentice. Give them some feedback. Give them some coaching. You've observed, you've watched it, you saw how the group reacted. Come alongside after the meeting at some point and work with your apprentice. And then number four, this time next year or early next summer, you recommend an apprentice for training. So the third D is develop, discern, delegate, develop, and deploy. Discern who could be a good leader, delegate to that person, develop that person, and then we want to deploy them. So we really... ideally, we don't want anybody, you know, leading a home group that hasn't gone through some training and hasn't been part of a home group. That's what this is trying to address. Okay? All right, sign up logistics. Sheets are going to go out starting Sunday, next Sunday. For those who need them. So here's what I need all of you to email me about. I need to know your location, directions to your house, if it's challenging, and your schedule, your time and when you meet. And I only need that if you need a sign-up sheet. If you don't need a sign-up sheet, then email me and say, I don't need a sign-up sheet. Okay? Also, when you email me with your location, direction, schedule, I need to know, I mean, I guess it'll be obvious because you're going to tell me if it's the first and the third and it's from 5 to 7 that you're going to want children. But just be explicit. Tell me if you want children in your group or not. Or that's not the way to say it. Young families, right? All right. Number two, you need to decide the maximum for your setting. My suggestion is a minimum of 8. If we don't have 8 signups, that group won't form. That just can't work. So that's our threshold of 8, not counting the leaders. General rule of thumb is a maximum of 14. If you want any kind of group interaction during sermon discussion, if you want everybody to participate, you get more. You get very far past 12, 13, 14, and that's gonna do this. For groups at 20, we need to start thinking about, we've had this discussion with some of the groups that have been large, we need to start thinking about that group dividing and making that into 2 groups. Because think of all this benefit, all this training, all this apprenticing, all this, and then those 2 groups could become 4 groups. You know, so if I'm consistently at 20, 22 people, that group needs to be, we need to be looking at that becoming 2 groups. There we go. Sign-up sheets are going to be out, and then they will be removed as they fill up. I will scan them, and then I will email them to you. So I've got a few question marks of potential group leaders that I will have to address offline. So we're going to be somewhere between 12 and 15 groups. So I think everybody here, we got you guys to figure out. Bruce Sarge, are y'all 100% in?
I got to check with Sally. Really
okay,
see
okay.
What the first schedule is.
All right, so we'll need to communicate.
Yep.
Strauss's, Roger's, Soto's, those are the other 2 that are thinking about it. So, all right, any questions, comments, anything else to add? Feel good about the trying it out. I think that's a good solution. We will reevaluate that whole deal at the break, you know, Christmas break, and see if we continue it. So, all right. I asked somebody to close this. Can we close this in prayer? Thank you.
Holy Father God, I just praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in our church, and particularly as we focus on home groups today. What a blessing home groups have been to, certainly to our family and the people who are in our group. But I think the blessings of the home groups go much, much beyond that. I think we see a closer family feeling, a friendlier environment. I think we see people that are more and more enthusiastic about the Word and growing closer to you, Lord. And Lord, it just is a joy to be a small participant in this activity. Thank you so much for the time Chris has spent to put into these 2 training classes. We pray that it will percolate down through our groups and to make them even more effective than they have been in the past. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for the blessings you pour out on us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody.